Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
On the subject of putting yourself first this Christmas and carving out time for yourself, a texter says, Brendan, my mother had great advice for women. Nobody will ask you how good was the hoovering. And Susan says, don't know whether to hate or love Jeremy Clarkson. I know what you mean, Susan. I really liked the farming show. I really enjoyed it. Like, it's at 8 hours of it, like. But I know exactly what you mean. Now, more comfort food for you today. And we're going to do nice veg again this week. We're still atoning for we very meat heavy 2 weeks ago. So we're going heavy on the veggie now. And I think if anyone can get us enjoying more veg, I feel that Rory O'Connell can talk us into it with his dulcet tones. Rory, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Brendan. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. So, Rory, now we're coming into Brussels sprout season for starters, and I think you and I are a dying breed. I love a sprout, and I know you do too. How do you cook them? What's the basics of getting a good sprout?
Well, the basic is if you just want to have them as a vegetable, you know, side vegetable, plenty of boiling salted water and no lid. And when you've peeled off the outside, you know, there might be a few little scrappy leaves, then just cut them in half straight down through the middle. And that makes an incredible difference to cooking them. So you get like a sort of a cross section from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
And into boiling salted water, no lid on the saucepan. That's really important because that will turn them brown. And cook them until they're nice and tender, then strain them, a little bit of butter, a bit of olive oil, whatever you're having yourself at that point.
Yeah, I think plenty of butter and salt. About one part sprout to one part butter would be my favourite ratio. Now, you obviously do lots of fancy things with them as well. What do you do to make them amazing?
Well, I roast them, just simply again, a little bit of olive oil, butter, salt and pepper. And then I sometimes combine them with some squash because the pumpkins are squashed. They're not gone, you know. They're a great winter vegetable. We sort of think about them sometimes just as being a Halloween thing. But actually, they go on right the way until late next spring. So I roast a bit of squash. And then about halfway through, throw in sliced Brussels sprouts into the same tray and turn them around. And then when they're all roasted onto a plate, a little bit of something like creme fraiche, a drizzle of honey, and pomegranate molasses, and maybe a few toasted pumpkin seeds. And that's a meal in itself.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Really delicious.
Yeah.
The other thing I love them with, Brendan, is I thinly slice some cauliflower and thinly slice the Brussels sprouts and then toss them in a Caesar salad dressing with some raisins and sultanas and a thinly sliced red onion, bit of Parmesan cheese or a good Irish cheese, and that's also really, really good.
Okay, we'll put those up on the website. You've lost me there. Now, once the raisins came into it, you lost me.
Do you
think as well that Brussels sprouts like a kind of spiciness and curry, maybe?
Yeah, they'll take. I mean, they're like a small cabbage, I suppose. So they'll take flavors from any part of the world. So there's no reason why you couldn't add them, you know, to a Thai curry or an Indian curry.
Right.
You know. Just they'll take all those flavors, and they're really good value for money, and you should be able to buy Irish ones most definitely, and they're brilliant. And you know what, the sooner you eat them, they're better now, nearly, Brendan, honestly, than they are at Christmas. The younger they are, the better.
Okay.
And if we get a bit of cold weather, which is coming, I think they get better after the cold weather as well.
Okay, right, let's go underground. So, and you're also partial to a root vegetable. Now, you say they're actually not just easy to cook, they're easy to grow as well, are they?
They are easy to grow. Yes, they are easy to grow. And I mean, traditionally, with root vegetables, you know, they'd have stayed in the ground over the winter when the soil used to be a bit colder and people would harvest them, you know, from the garden. They'd run out, break a bit of the frosty soil and pull up, you know, a turnip or whatever it was. And, you know, a little goes a long way with root vegetables. So, yeah, nope, they are easy to
grow. Okay. Now, we were talking about Swede turnips last week. And I think, look, a lot of people are a bit traumatised by them because I think the fashion back in the day was to cook them to the bitter end, you might call it, literally.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've learned to treat them a bit more sensitively now, have we?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are as good as anything else. I mean, for me, they look beautiful as well. You know, with the purple shoulders and the sort of the golden flesh. I remember when I was growing up, we used to run down the road to a local farm, and they'd be putting turnips through a slicing machine to feed to the sheep, I presume it was. And we would eat them straight out of the slicing machine in the farmyard. You know, we'd dip them into a bucket of icy cold water, eat them, and we absolutely loved them. Anyway, that's somewhat beside the point. But I do various things with them. They make a brilliant soup. One part onion, one part potato, three parts of the turnips, and sweat them in a little bit of butter, salt and pepper. Then a little bit of chicken stock and vegetable stock, and cook them until they're completely tender. And when you puree that, you've got a silky golden soup that is a match for any other vegetable.
You're so elevating the Swede turnip for me here, like the purple shoulders, the golden flesh, the silkiness and everything. They're like the Greek god of vegetables at this
point. They have all of that, and they're so, a word I overuse possibly is good humoured, you know. Yeah. The other thing I do to them, Brendan, I can peel them, and you have to peel them quite thickly so none of the little green tinge of skin is left on.
Okay.
And dice them up, boiling salt and water until they're completely tender, and strain them completely. And then just puree them, with a little bit of butter, olive oil, salt and pepper. And I spread that out in a dish and then drizzle it with olive oil and sprinkle it with parmesan. And I promise you, it is sensational.
Okay. And you also, I think we're putting up a recipe for a gratin of turnips and potatoes with thyme, smoked bacon and parmesan as well.
Yeah. Look,
so that'll go up on the website. Let's move on. We'll bounce along to the Jerusalem artichoke, which has a bad rep for, say, if it was something you served at a dinner party, that it might be embarrassing for some of the people there.
That's right. Sometimes some turbulence ensues with some guests. But it's one of the best things you can eat from a gastronomic point of view, from a taste point of view, but also it's regarded as a sort of a marvellous ingredient for gut health. And gut health, as we know increasingly, is related to your general health and to your mental and emotional
health. Yeah.
So from that point of view, it's regarded as being a sort of a wonder food in that respect. I mean, they're not very well known. They will become better known, and they're becoming more available in the shops as people are thinking about them, not just as something lovely to eat, but actually that's something really good for you. Now, if you're talking about a vegetable that's easy to grow, The Jerusalem artichoke is probably possibly the all-time easy to grow vegetable, Brendan. You literally just stick it in the ground, or a few of them in the ground, like as if you're planting spuds, and then you forget about them. And they're part of the sunflower family, curiously. And they throw up this foliage, which is beautiful and about 10 feet high, with a tiny little flower way up in the sky on top that looks like a sunflower. Anyway, underneath the soil, when all that greenery has died back, and it's like picking spuds, so there's that sort of joy as well. You know, you put your fork into the soil, dig up, and you've got this cluster of knobbly, kind of gnarled, sort of cantankerous-looking vegetables under the soil. And then you bring them in, or you buy them. You can peel them if you want, but they're freshly dug. You just need to scrub them.
Okay.
Cut them in half. Again, the aforementioned olive oil, salt and pepper, and roast them until they're really golden and kind of russety autumn colour. And they are unbelievably good.
Okay. And you say they're quite actually versatile, like you've a lot of other ideas for them as well.
Yeah. They make a wonderful soup, and I'll send you the recipe for that to put up on the website.
Great.
And that's often a soup that I would serve at Christmas time, if I'm allowed to mention the C word. It's really silky and sophisticated. They're delicious with mussels. And, of course, it's a brilliant time of the year for Irish mussels. They're great with scallops, if you can get them. They're brilliant with pheasant, which is now in season and really good value. There's endless possibilities with them.
Rory, I could listen to you all day. You elevate every humble vegetable you talk about. But we must do this again sometime. Maybe I'll talk to you before Christmas.
That'd be lovely. I'd love that. Just one thing, Dan. You know, I know your guests will be listening to your show all morning. Listen to Dervil and Blind Boy. And some people get into such a panic about cooking. For me personally, when I go into the kitchen, particularly at home, if I'm cooking on my own, that's my sort of mindfulness. And I hope maybe some people can maybe start thinking about cooking a little bit like that. You know, just as a slightly different exercise.
Get into your flow and be present with it and all that.
Get into your flow, just enjoy the ingredients and enjoy the sharing of it afterwards.
Absolutely. Rory O'Connell, thank you so much.